You're listening to a message from The Gathering. Check us out on Facebook or our website at peopleintheircity.com. Now, prepare your heart for God to speak something powerful into your life.
Oh yeah, come on. How we doing, family? You guys good? Man, it's good to be together, isn't it? Yes, all right. Hey, we're going to dive right in. If you got your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, and then you can also flip over a few more books to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We're actually going to look at 1 Corinthians 2 first, and then we're going to look at a whole bunch of scriptures today as well, but those are some of the main ones. Today is day one of a brand new message series we are starting called Heaven. It's all about heaven. I'm so excited for this. Listen, it's all about heaven. It's all about the life to come, the realities of heaven, which we're going to experience one day, but then also the realities of heaven that we can experience right here and right now. Have you ever had one of those experiences where after it's all done, where you said, I knew going into it that it was going to be good. I just had no idea it was going to be that good. Have you ever had one of those experiences before? Yeah, like maybe you went and saw a movie and you read the reviews before. You knew this thing was going to be good, but then you were just blown away by how good it was. Maybe you took a trip. You knew it was going to be fun, but then you had no idea it was going to be that much fun. Maybe you ate some food and you just weren't prepared for how delicious it was really going to be, right? Our good friend over here, Laura Meyer, bakes these cinnamon rolls that some of y'all know about. Some of you guys have had these cinnamon rolls. Bless God Almighty. And so this, I was told before I ever ate a Laura Meyer cinnamon roll, I was told that these things were delicious, okay? So I had high expectations going into it. I didn't know they were going to be that good. Okay, listen, soft, right? Fresh. That doughy aroma as you're taking a bite, right? And then you take the standard typical amount of gooiness, but times it by 500. Okay, no crusty edges, no dry parts at all, nothing like that. And then as if all that weren't enough, she's so generous, she'll give you your own personal cup of homemade frosting that you get to spread on the top of it. Like you get to determine the amount that you're gonna put on your own cinnamon roll. Now, because this is America, you know I use the whole amount, right? And so it melts right into that cinnamon. It melts into that dough. It gets down into the layers, right? Hallelujah, somebody. So listen, I knew they were going to be good. I just didn't, God bless you, Laura. I did not know they were going to be that good, right? Have you ever had an experience like that? Where you just didn't know it was going to be that amazing? Okay, listen, for those of us in the room today that we do believe in God, we believe in the afterlife, we believe in the realities of heaven, I do think in general we have a sense that heaven is going to be good. Is that right? However, I'm just not sure that our expectations are quite as high as they should be. You following me? I mean, we got to have our expectations high. And here's the other thing. I'm just not convinced that the church is necessarily doing an adequate job of helping people understand just how genuine their expectations can be of the realities of heaven. So, I mean, this is a problem. Because this is a problem if we don't understand just how good, if we can't have expectations high for what heaven's going to really be like. Because listen, on one hand, we have this mission where we are trying to help everyone. I hope we're trying to help everyone around us make the decision to spend all of eternity in heaven with Jesus, right? So wouldn't you agree that it would be helpful if the proverbial brochure we hand to people about heaven is actually accurate, right? But then here's the other thing. Here's why this is a problem as well. Because part of our mission as disciples of Jesus is for you and I to help bring heaven to earth right here and right now. Did you know that was part of your job description as a disciple? Did you know that you are responsible for that? Okay, so listen, how can we do that effectively if we don't have a clear understanding of what it is we're to bring? And why would we want to bring it here if we're not totally convinced of just how over the top, blow your mind, amazing heaven really is? Okay, listen to me, church. Heaven is gonna blow your mind. You need to raise your expectations, okay? Now, before we go any further, though, I want to be very clear about something, all right? I do not pretend for a second that I am some kind of sophisticated theologian that understands all the nuances and complexities of the scriptures when it comes to heaven, okay? So the point of this series is not for us to have some systematic theological review of heaven. And besides, we do know this. We know even if we tried to do that, here's what we can understand, that our best efforts to try to accurately describe heaven will still fall short. Okay, we do not currently contain the human capability of accurately describing what heaven is going to be like. We will fall short. In fact, we can't understand how glorious God is. Is that right? How are we going to understand the place he dwells in? We can't understand, okay? In fact, the Bible even tells us we can't fully grasp it, all right? You still got your Bibles open to 1 Corinthians chapter 2? 1 Corinthians 2, we're going to read verse 9. Paul is actually going to quote a scripture from Isaiah 64, and he's going to use it to give a good, he's going to make a good attempt at describing heaven, okay? But I want you to see, this is his attempt at describing heaven. 1 Corinthians 2, 9, you guys know this. He says, no eye has seen. No eye has seen, or no ear has heard, no mind has even imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. Okay, so according to your Bible, we can't fully grasp it. You see that? Okay, but, and that's one way, that is one way that we can look at that verse, all right? That we as humans have no reference point. We've never seen anything. We've not even heard anything remotely close. Therefore, we can't even imagine with our minds and therefore hope to describe just how good, just how beautiful, just how otherworldly, how over the top, how fulfilling, how loving, how glorious life with God will be in heaven for all of eternity. Listen, I don't even think that any of the human languages today contain the words that we could use to do it justice. Okay, but before you get bummed out and think that this is a lost cause, just listen to me. It doesn't mean we don't have anything to go on. Okay, it doesn't mean we don't have anything. Family, we should do our very best to take what the Bible does give us and then use our holy imaginations and live now with excitement and anticipation for what's to come as we then also try our best to implement heaven on earth right here and right now. Okay, because here's the other way we could look at this verse. Again, it says, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no heart, no mind can imagine what God has prepared for those who love him. Well, I don't know about you, but I got a pretty good imagination. Man, I can imagine some very good things. Can you? I mean, it's not all doom and gloom on this planet, is it? I have had some experiences in my life that, listen, from my limited perspective that I do have, I would nonetheless still call them heaven on earth. Okay, my honeymoon, Rachel and I, we went on our honeymoon. If we look back on that thing was heaven on earth. Okay, 7 of the most relational, relaxing, refreshing, thrilling, fun, adventurous days we've ever experienced. And it was in paradise. We were like, this is amazing. This is heaven on earth. However, even though we can, we experienced that, yet we can still, think about this. There are experiences, there are trips, there are moments with God that we could imagine. There are other things that we have not yet experienced, but we can imagine them, and we're pretty convinced that if we could experience those things, then afterward we might say, well, now this is the best thing that we've done. This is heaven on earth. Are you following me? Okay, come on. I think you and I are capable of imagining incredibly good things. So church, here's where I'm going with this. If you and I can imagine some incredibly good and exciting and fulfilling things in life, then how much more amazing is heaven going to be when its goodness is beyond our ability to even imagine it? And so, church family, I would submit to you today that you are going to have a difficult time living the full disciple life that Jesus has called you to now if you don't start living with high heavenly expectations today. Okay, we got to raise our expectations. So here's where I want to start in this, okay? I just want to take a moment for us to dismantle some of the big myths that there are about heaven. Okay, there are some myths that have made their way into the church a long time ago. They still stick with the church today. And I want us to understand the truth, okay? So follow me, okay? With zero judgment, okay, with zero judgment. Listen, there are people today, you have to realize there are people in the church today that want to go to heaven, okay? And perhaps you've even felt this way before, okay? That you want to go to heaven because you don't want to go to hell. Because who does, right? Okay, but so there are people in the church today that want to go to heaven because they don't want to go to hell. But part of it is because they don't have a biblical understanding of what heaven is really going to be like. Therefore, they're not excited about heaven. And it's actually impacting the way they're living their Christian life right here and right now. So we've got to dismantle the myths, all right? Are you ready for this? All right, here we go. Myth number one. You know this. Heaven will be one long, boring church service for all of eternity. Come on. Some of us have thought this before. Or we've at least wondered about this. Okay, listen. And I love church. I love planning our time together. I love thinking about our time together. I love being with you guys. I love worshiping together. But even I would get nervous if I really believed that heaven was going to be one long, boring church service for all of eternity. Okay, but where does that idea come from? You want to know where that idea comes from? I can tell you where that idea comes from. Boring churches. Come on. Hey, I'm not even trying to be mean. I'm just trying to be real with it. Some of us, that's an accurate description of much of our childhood church experience right there. Boring. We know that, okay? And so you have to see this. Here's why I'm saying our view of heaven impacts life here and now. Because if we perceive through church that God and heaven are boring, then we're not gonna live the disciple life of impact and significance now. Instead, we're just gonna kind of cower back. We'll call ourselves Christian, but we'll just play church instead, and we'll go after things in life that aren't God that we think will fulfill us right now. Okay, and which is only going to handicap the mission, because why would anyone else in our world around us be attracted to that Jesus life, that heaven life, if they perceive through us that it's boring now and it might just possibly be boring for all of eternity to come? Unless, of course, they're told, well, you have to, otherwise you're going to go to hell. Okay, grace. Listen, if your only reason for wanting to be close to God is so that you don't have to go to hell, man, then you run the risk of missing out on the whole thing altogether. Okay, and if as disciples, or man, if as a church, if our only reason for trying to convince people that they should want to go to heaven is so that they don't have to go to hell, we're doing a disservice to Jesus. Come on, I've said it before, I'll say it again. Boring church is a dishonor. It's a disgrace to Jesus. Listen to me. God is not boring. Therefore, you better believe the place he hangs out, heaven, is not boring either. Come on, think about this. Do boring people create the heavens and the earth? Do they come up with all this stuff? Do boring people think up monkeys? Things are hilarious, right? No. Do boring people leave heaven and come to earth on rescue missions for all of humanity? Do boring people turn water into wine? No, party people do that. Responsibly. You better hear me, all right? Do boring people walk on water? Do they raise the dead? Do they themselves die for all the sins of humanity, get buried in a grave, but then 3 days later come back to life, send their disciples out to send that message to the whole world while they Superman up into a cloud as they return to heaven? No, come on. God is not boring, and heaven will not be boring either. I'm telling you, every moment of heaven is going to be the eternal adventure of your lifetime. All right, so myth number two. Heaven is a place where people soul sleep. Heaven is a place where people soul sleep, okay? I'll explain that, but church, there's a lot of people that believe this in the church today, that when we die, instead of going and being in heaven, being like fully alive right now, they believe that our souls actually just go to sleep, that we kind of go to sleep and we're just unconscious until the day that Jesus is going to return. But no, Okay, that's not biblical. Watch this. This is Paul. Well, actually, I don't think I'm putting it up on the screen, but 2 Corinthians 5:8, Paul says this, and he says this about believers. He says to be away from these earthly bodies, okay, for saved people. If you're away, if you've died, if you're away from the earthly body, he says it is, you're present with the Lord. Okay, where is the Lord? In heaven, right? You think he's taking a nap? No, come on. He's ruling and reigning. He's leading and living life to the full. And I would suggest that those people that have gone before us and have already died and gone to heaven, I would suggest that they are more alive than we are right now. And they're cheering Jesus on as he continues to unleash more and more heaven right here on earth. All right, myth number three. We'll sit on clouds and play harps for all of eternity. But you know this one, right? I mean, you've at least seen the cartoon version of this before, haven't you? So come on. Again, no. No, heaven is a real place where God and angels and people are alive, where they're living life. And again, even right now. And we'll talk about this more next week and in the couple weeks to come. But listen, when Jesus returns, this is Revelation 21, when he returns, God is actually going to bring all of heaven down to earth. That's the reality we are heading towards. The earth will be recreated. We will then live life, a very physical, real life in these resurrected bodies that will have new capabilities that I don't think we can really comprehend right now, but it's an earthly life. Nonetheless, in the midst of heaven that is fully here. My oldest son the other day, he didn't even know we were doing this series, but he just started asking me about heaven and what it's gonna be like one day. And heaven coming, he goes, what's that gonna be like when heaven comes to earth? And so I'm trying to use language that he would understand, and he's into comic books and all kinds of shows like that. And so I was like, son, do you understand what I mean when I say other dimensions? And he's like, oh yeah. And so listen to me, one day, like I don't know how else to explain it, but there's gonna be a dimension that opens up and the heavenly realms are gonna come and collide with earth. So heaven is not now, and will not be a place where disembodied spirits just float around in the clouds. Okay, in fact, most scholars believe that when you die and go to heaven right now, your spirit leaves this body, but they believe you're actually given an upgraded or intermediate heavenly body, but it's still very much you. It's still very much physical until that day when Jesus will return. He'll raise us all up. He'll resurrect every person with brand new resurrected immortal bodies, forever bodies, just like his. Okay, so we're not hanging out on clouds unless, I imagine if you want a Superman up into a cloud, you might have the capability to do that. And it's gonna be dope, right? Okay, but nobody's putting you in a timeout where you have to sit on a cloud and learn to play the harp by yourself. Okay, we're clear? Because listen, there's nothing biblical about that idea. There's nothing biblical about that. And family, again, that's my heart for all of us. That we would have a biblical understanding of and therefore an excitement for heaven. That we would live right here and right now with worthy expectations of it. I want you to raise your expectations. I want your expectations of heaven to go to new heights. I want you to live excited. I want you to live excited. I want you to be thinking and dreaming about heaven all the time. I want you to live with a holy imagination of what heaven is like and what it's going to be like. I want you to keep your future with Jesus in mind and let that thing motivate you right here and right now. That's what God wants for you too. Okay, I didn't tell you to turn here, but Colossians 3, 1 through 4, this is God's word. And Paul writes, he says, watch this. He says, since you have been raised to new life with Christ. And he's not talking about that day to come. He's talking right here and right now, saved people. He's talking about followers of Jesus right here and right now. Since you've been raised to new life right here and right now, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Verse 2, Paul says, think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. Does that sound like a suggestion? Think about heaven. Dream about it. He says, for you died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. Where's God? Yeah, right. And when Christ, who is your life, is revealed to the whole world. Yes, that day to come when he returns and the whole world sees him. But what about right here and right now in your world when he gets to be revealed through you? Your everyday life, when he's revealed through you to the whole world, then watch this, you will then share in all his glory. Heaven like you can't imagine. So church, years ago, God put a passion in my heart for heaven. I can't stop thinking about heaven. I'm serious. I think about it all the time. I dream about it all the time. I dream about what it's going to be like. I dream about how fulfilling and adventurous that life in heaven will be. I cannot wait. I cannot wait. I can't wait to get my hair back. Every cursed and fallen follicle redeemed. It's going to be glorious and thick. I'm growing it down to here. You won't recognize me at first. Going to be like, is that Conan the Barbarian right over there? They let him in? I can't wait to be with my family. I can't wait to be there with you guys. Our family, my family, we talk about heaven all the time. We dream about it together. I can't wait to never sin again. I can't wait until sin is forever a thing of my past. I can't wait to be there with God. I can't wait to see Jesus face to face. Okay, and listen. I tell them all the time right now. I tell them every day, Jesus, I love you. I love you. Okay? A lot of times, eyes closed, prayer, Jesus, I love you. I can't wait, eyes open, not going to be able to take my eyes off of him, just look him straight in the eyes and say, I love you, Jesus. I can't wait to look him straight in the eyes and say, thank you. Thank you. I can't wait to run into the throne room and fall at the Father's feet and sing to him and praise him, and I'll be a better dancer then. But just love him, grab him, hold on to him, be held by him. I can't wait to experience the very real and personal love he has for me. Okay, again, this would be like one of those no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind can imagine type things. I know that God loves me. Okay, I know that right now. I say that humbly, but listen, I have accepted the fact that God loves me, and there's nothing I can do about it. You should accept that for your life too. That he loves you no matter what, and there is nothing you can do about it, okay? But nonetheless, I can't wait to experience, to soak in, to breathe in that very real and unconditional, like, I don't know if we've experienced it quite yet, that infinite, unmatched, just glorious, personal love that he has for me. Hey, listen, that thought right there makes me live different right now. I live differently now because I'm anticipating that day to come. I want you to hear me. I don't want anyone to miss out. I want everyone to have that experience. I want it for everyone. So you need to know, I'm serious. I pray this all the time. I pray, God, help me. Help us. Help the gathering. Let us be a church that we would take our whole town. Why can't we take the whole town? Is there any reason? Is God not big enough to where this whole town couldn't be reborn? Come on, let's take them all. I want to take my whole hometown. I want to go beyond that. I want to live this life right here and now with heaven in mind. I want to take as many people as we can. Why can't that happen? Newton reborn, family. Region reborn, family. I dream about that. We've got to raise our expectations, church. We have to live differently right here and right now. So we busted up some of the myths, but let's see if we can start to lean into and maybe get a little bit closer on some of the realities of heaven, okay? So here's a question, all right? So then what is heaven? What is heaven? I got two quick points for us today. And listen, we're going to keep going with this over the next couple of weeks, all right? So what is heaven? Number one, heaven is paradise. Heaven is paradise, all right? In Luke chapter 23, there's a very famous couple of verses. So Jesus is hanging on the cross. He's about to die. And he's being crucified with two other criminals. They're right there with him. Now, one of those criminals begins to mock Jesus. But the other, by God's grace, begins to see who Jesus really is. He begins to recognize that he's the Savior, that he's the Lord, that he's even innocent, that he shouldn't be up on that cross, that he is sinless. And so he makes this very simple but bold statement of faith right then and there. In verse Luke 23:42, he says, "Jesus, remember me when you enter into your kingdom." And then Jesus responds, verse 43, says, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." In other words, hey friend, we're both about to give up the ghost right here. But because of your faith in me, today you're going to be with me in heaven. Church, heaven is a paradise, okay? In fact, that Greek word there for the word paradise is actually pronounced paradesos. Everybody say, come on, paradesos. You got to say it like that when you say Greek words too. But it literally means this. It means a garden of bliss or pleasure or delights. Okay, can anybody think of another garden in the Bible that was also full of bliss and pleasure and delights? What was that place? Garden of Eden. Come on. So church family, you need to know that in so many ways, God's plan has always been to bring us back to what we lost and what we destroyed through our choice to sin. Listen, heaven is paradise found. Heaven is paradise restored. And here's what's crazy. Even that back then was just a foretaste of what's still to come. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, not even Adam and Eve. It's going to be that good paradise like we can't comprehend. But come on, can we dream together? Can we use our holy imaginations? I'm telling you, the perfect, most unimaginable landscapes. The lushest grass you've ever stepped on. And those checkerboard lines from the mower, those things are permanent. They never go away, right? The perfect weather, the sweetest air, the mountains, the waterfalls, the lakes, the beaches. I told you, my family and I, we dream about heaven. We talk about it all the time. We've actually been having this conversation for a while now. We've talked to God about this. I think he's cool with it. So we think our family home in heaven is going to be on the beach. That's also on a mountain, on a lake. I think God can make that happen, right? And besides, I was born and raised here in Newton, Kansas. I have done my time in the flatlands, baby. Come on, I don't know about you, but it's time for the mountains when we get out of here. Is that right? But church, I'm also convinced that there will be lights and colors that we have never seen before. I think there's going to be sounds and music that our ears have never heard, food better than anything we've ever tasted, angels and heavenly creatures, an advanced city unlike anything we can picture. Like the closest things that have helped my imagination so far when I picture the city of God that he has in mind are things like Wakanda from Black Panther. Like kind of otherworldly, right? Or for some of you guys, like maybe like where the elves live in Lord of the Rings. Some of the nerds were like, "Oh yeah, that's it. You're going home one day. It's gonna happen." But elves and Black Panther ain't got nothing on Jesus though. And I'm telling. And listen, but animals, even animals that would harm us now, or we wouldn't be safe around, just living side by side together in safety. Talking paradise, church. And Jesus is the one who said so. Come on, is there anybody that's having a hard time getting excited about heaven? Come on, you have a hard time getting excited about paradise? And here's the best part. Did you see who's going to be there? Jesus said, today you will be with me in paradise. Friends, please hear me. It's actually paradise, and it's only paradise because God is there. Do not make the mistake of separating the place from the person who actually makes it what it is. Okay, because listen, there are some people, we get excited about the idea of heaven, we get excited about the idea of paradise, but in this life, we're just kind of indifferent towards God. Listen, if you love the place more than the person who makes it what it is, you run the risk of missing the whole thing altogether. Hey, it's paradise, but it's only paradise because God himself is there. Which leads to number two, all right? What is heaven? Here's number two. Heaven is a kingdom where God's will is done. Heaven is a kingdom where God's will is done. If you got your Bibles open to Matthew 6, we're going to read verses 9 through 12. And again, this is a very famous collection of verses in your Bible. This is the time that the disciples asked Jesus, Jesus, would you teach us how to pray? And so Jesus taught them what we now all refer to as the Lord's Prayer. In fact, probably a bunch of us even have it memorized. Here's what's cool, though. If you actually pay attention to the words, you're going to notice that Jesus reveals some very specific details about heaven in this prayer. Okay, so they asked him, Jesus, teach us to pray. You guys ready for this? Here's what Jesus said, okay? He says, pray like this. Our Father, where? In heaven. Okay, so even right there, we can discover some things. What is heaven? Heaven is where God is at. You with me on that? Okay, so our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, or honored be your name. And watch these details. I'm going to read this slow. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Okay, there's several things we can just get even right there. You see that? Okay, it says that God has a kingdom. Okay, so if God is the one that has the kingdom, then who does that make God? The king, right? So he's the king. And then in a kingdom, whose will is usually done? In other words, who's usually the one that's in charge? The king, right? Yeah, so we just read that God is the king of a kingdom and that in heaven, his will or his way of life or his way of doing things is always done. Because Jesus just said, let your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. Nothing in heaven goes against his will. So that means that all of heaven is within the kingdom of God. Or you could say it this way. Sometimes Jesus refers to it as the kingdom of heaven. Heaven is God's kingdom. So come on, follow me, okay? Heaven is where God is at and where his will is done. Now, what's intriguing is that Jesus tells you and me that we should pray for his kingdom to come and for his will to be done right here and right now where you and I are at. So I wonder what that might imply about heaven. Because watch, and listen, I don't know if you've ever thought about the rest of this prayer this way before, okay? But watch these verses closely because the Lord's Prayer is actually all about you and I praying that heaven would come to earth in some very practical ways in our lives. Watch this. Have you ever thought about it this way? Hey, Jesus prays, says, God, this is verse 11. God, would you give us today our daily bread? Come on, church, just think about that. He's saying, God, just like there is no lack in heaven, just like you provide for everyone's needs in heaven, Lord, would you provide for us right here and right now? Would you bring heaven down to earth in and through our lives in that way right now? And then God, verse 12, forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. You could say, forgive us our sins as we also forgive those who sin against us. In other words, Lord, just like there's total forgiveness from you to your people in heaven, and just like everyone in heaven, nobody has a grudge against anyone else in heaven. Lord, would you then forgive us right here and right now? And would you help us that we might always forgive those who sin against us right here and right now. Lord, may forgiveness run rampant in our lives. Lord, let us follow you in that way. God, let heaven come to earth in and through our lives right now in the same way that that's happening up there. And then verse 13, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Lord, just like there's no temptation to sin in heaven, just like how Satan's been kicked out of heaven and he doesn't have power over anyone else in heaven, God, would you lead us away from temptation right here and right now? Would you help us to see sin the way that you see sin, that we wouldn't rebel against you? Because in heaven, there's only faithfulness and loyalty to your crown. So God, would you kick Satan out of our lives? Would you help us to overcome all the schemes and the plots and things that he wants to put against us that would trip us up? God, may we get aggressive with our sin. May it get eradicated from our lives. Would you bring heaven down to earth in and through us in that way right now? Church, what is heaven? Heaven is paradise. Heaven is where God is at. Heaven is God's kingdom where his will is done. So come on, I hope you're getting ahead of me on this. What is heaven? Or maybe we could ask it this way. Where is heaven? Heaven is where, and it's when God's will is done, which means heaven can show up right now in and through you and me here on planet Earth as his people seek to live inside of his kingdom. It can happen right now as we love him, as we obey him, as we are faithful and loyal to him, as we tell others about him, as we live that disciple life and make more disciples and help other people live their lives according to his will. Because here's one more common myth that people have about heaven. Even in the church, we live with this idea, oh, well, that's just a future thing. Oh, heaven's a future thing. It's to come one day. No! Heaven should show up right now, here and now, through God's people. Jesus said the kingdom of God is here. You say, well, this doesn't look like much of a paradise if it's here. Okay, so I get it, right? I know, maybe even take our town. You drive around our town, not every part of our town is pleasing to look at. I would submit, yet. Okay, and I know, like in my yard, I'm gonna have to keep mowing every week this summer to keep those checkerboard lines tight like I like them, right? But listen, just think about this. Just this past week, this really happened. My oldest son, again, he was asking about heaven and all this stuff. I was putting him to bed, and he said to me, he goes, Dad, the last few nights that you guys have laid me down for bed, I've just laid here. He's 8 years old. He said, I've just laid here, stayed awake, and I've prayed, and I've talked to God for a long time. I didn't tell him to do that. His mom didn't tell him to do that. Unprompted, he just tells me, I've been laying here talking to God. And he tells me, he goes, I think I heard his voice. He goes, has that ever happened to you? He goes, next day, I think I laid there awake and I just prayed and I prayed and prayed. And then I had a dream, and he goes, I'm not totally sure, but I think God spoke to me in the dream. Has that ever happened to you? You got to know, my heart was in paradise as my son was telling me those things. Reality of heaven coming down into my son's heart, into his life, and showing up in his bedroom and in our home. Amen? Church family, do you guys remember the night of worship we had here a couple months ago? A bunch of us probably showed up a couple months ago for a night of worship. If you were here, you remember that thing? Heaven on earth. It was unbelievable. Right? These things are just a taste of what's to come, but even those tastes right there, even those little bits that we can get can just overwhelm our hearts with the amount of goodness we experience from God. And by the way, April 19th, Good Friday, we're having another night of worship right here. Right? It's going to be amazing, all right? Don't miss it. So, family, listen. I want you to set your heart on heaven for a couple of reasons. I want you to live for heaven right here and right now. And here's one reason, and we'll talk about this more next week and in the week to come, okay? But here's one of the reasons, because there is a day coming where you will stand before Jesus, and you need to know that the way you live right now will impact how you will live then. And listen, I'm not even talking about hell. You hear me? I'm not even talking about going to hell. I'm talking about saved people, people who say they follow Jesus here right now. The way you live now, Mr. and Mrs. Saved Person, will impact your heavenly reality to come, the way you live for eternity. Okay, you need to know that. But also, I want you to set your hearts on heaven now so that you can understand and realize when the realities of heaven do show up right here and right now, but maybe more than that, so that you can begin to recognize where the realities of heaven are lacking in your life right now, in your relationship with God right now. Where those heavenly realities are lacking in your marriage and with your kids and with your other relationships, where those heavenly realities are lacking when you show up at work, where those heavenly realities are lacking here in our town. So that, listen to me, not so we can just put it off, okay, or not so we can just put up with hell on earth, but know that we can take action, that we can say, Satan, get out of my face. Jesus, let heaven come down right now in and through me. Jesus, let your kingdom come. Let your will be done. We want the heaven realities right here, right now. You need to be able to recognize them. You need to raise your expectations. You need to set your hearts on heaven. Church, God's given us a vision to see Newton reborn. We say it this way, a people and their city revived, rebuilt, and renewed by Jesus for his glory. In other words, let's flip this town up, not upside down, but right side up with the realities of heaven. Let's bring heaven to earth here and now. Do you realize that at the beginning of May, we get to go do 6th Street Reborn again? If you don't know what that is, look out. We're going to go bring heaven to our block. We're going to show up and bring heaven to our neighborhood. In the meantime, listen, we're going to keep exploring. Over the next couple of weeks, we're going to keep exploring the realities of heaven and how they impact us right here and right now. We're going to do this for 2 more weeks, okay? And listen, I want to tell you about this, though, real quick. You need to know that April's about to be amazing, okay? We're doing this series for 2 more weeks, but April, I don't know if you guys realize this, this is our 5th birthday month in April as a church, 5 years old. And so April 7th, we're having a Pop Sunday. That's just where we drink pop in church. If you're new, it's great. And then April 14th is the actual birthday. Look out, somebody. April 19th is the night of worship, Good Friday. And then April 21st is Easter. Whew, it's going to be a good month, isn't it? All right, so this is what we're doing for the next couple weeks before we get into that. But listen, here's my question for today. What's in heaven right now that's not currently in your life? Okay, what are some heavenly realities that aren't currently reality for you? And what are you going to do about it? In other words, where are those realities lacking? Where are the places in heaven where we just discover, man, God's will is being done all the time, and where you know that you know that you know that you know his will isn't being done right here? Where is some heavenly reality lacking in your life? Maybe there is just even lack right now, or you're missing provision. Maybe in your finances. Maybe there's discouragement. Maybe there's depression. Maybe there's fear. I mean, listen, total grace. A lot of people live with just fear. I don't know how this is going to work out. I don't know how I'm going to do this. Or, God, I need to, I just got to, and we live scared. And listen, fear is one of the biggest factors in discouragement and depression. There is no fear in heaven. Fear doesn't have to be your reality. Okay, neither, some of you need to hear this morning. Neither does discouragement and depression. You don't have to keep living that way. I guarantee God wants to invade your life. He wants to bring heaven into your heart and into your mind. You don't have to be discouraged. Maybe there's, in heaven there's no sin, nothing but grace. Listen, I know we're still going to sin today, but maybe there's some sins in our lives that we don't want to get rid of. We like a little too much. Maybe there's those things that God has been talking to us about that we know. Man, I can't keep doing this thing. But so far, we've been unwilling to allow Jesus to bring heaven to earth in and through us as we see that thing eradicated from our lives. Again, we're still going to sin until the day we die. But God has given us a free will. He does want to pour out his power in and through our lives. You don't have to keep putting up with it. And honestly, I think he would have an expectation on us as believers. Man, we've got to get aggressive with our sin. We've got to allow heaven to come. We've got to want heaven to come to earth in and through us. So what do we do? What are you going to do about it? Maybe if I could take you back just a couple of weeks to the series we did prior, maybe for some of us, we've got to step away from the sand, step onto the solid rock. We've got to take the steps that Jesus wants us to take. Listen, taking the steps that Jesus wants us to take, that is you agreeing, God, I want your heavenly realities to come into my life. So church, I'll never stop saying this. What is the next step you need to take? What is the Holy Spirit saying to you? And so what about this as well? Who are the people in your life that right now you just know, man, they're not going to heaven? In other words, they have no relationship with God. Who do you know? I guarantee we all know somebody, probably a whole bunch of somebodies, that need heaven to invade their lives. What are you going to do about it? Are we gonna let fear of inviting somebody or fear of, oh, I don't know if I can talk to him about Jesus, are we gonna let that override the God-given call, the courage that he can pour out into our lives and what really needs to happen? I mean, we can't get to the end, family, and say, man, let us not get to the end and say, I had all these opportunities and I didn't take them because I was scared. What are we gonna do about it? So listen, we got to pray. We know that. If you're not actively praying for people in your life to come and to know Jesus, to have a relationship with Jesus, you need to start praying that heavenly reality into this planet today. And I would say, Mr. and Mrs. Disciple, come on, it's time to take a step. It's time to invite. It's time to open up your mouth. It's time to just share a little bit about, this is what God's doing in my life. I know he can do this for you. I'm praying for you. Would you come sit with me at church? God wants to pour out heaven into your life. It's time, family. Who do you need to invite? All right, and especially, listen, Easter season coming up. And I'm not even saying wait till Easter, but Easter season coming up. Who needs to be here? Who needs to hear about heaven next Sunday? And what happens when God uses you, and like we read in Colossians, and he reveals himself to the world through you, and I'll even allow you to be selfish just for a moment, because you're going to get to share in some glory like you can't even imagine. Who do you need to invite? Who do you need to talk to? Who do you need to pray for? Finally, maybe you're here today and you have not yet given your life over to the kingdom of God. We're so glad you're here. Do you need to give your life to Jesus today? Have you ever made that decision? I grew up in church my whole life. I prayed a prayer, God, would you come into my heart? I discovered at the age of 24 that I had never really meant it or never knew what it meant to actually let Jesus be my Lord, or we could even say King, over my life. At the age of 24, I got down on my knees and I understood for the first time, and I prayed, Jesus, I want you to be in charge. And it's hard for me to describe, but I'm telling you, heaven invaded my heart that day, and I didn't turn perfect, but I have never been the same. And I want it for everyone. Do you need to give your life to Jesus today? I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes, church. Let's pray. Listen, do you need to give your life to Jesus today? Do you need to make the decision? Jesus, I want you to be in charge. Jesus, I'm submitting to you. You are the King, not me. And I'm putting my life in your hands. Listen, I promise I'm not going to embarrass you. I wouldn't make you come forward or do anything like that. But listen, if you need to give your life to Jesus today, I'm asking, I'm the only one looking around, would you raise your hand? Do you need to pray that prayer today? I just want to lead you in a prayer. That's all. Do you need to give your life to Jesus today? Anybody in this room? I see your hand. Thank you. Anybody else? Anybody else need to give their life to Jesus? Just raise your hand. Raise it high. Don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed. I see your hand. Thank you. Anybody else? I see your hand. Thank you. Thank you. I don't want to rush this. Anybody else? Hey, you can put your hands down. Family, we got like 5 people in here that want to make the decision. Jesus, you're going to be Lord over my life. Hey, if you raise your hand, I want to pray with you. I just want to lead you in a prayer. Just follow along. If you didn't raise your hand, but you want to pray that prayer, and if you mean it, just tell Jesus. Let's pray together. Let's invite him to have his way in our lives. So come on, just pray with me. Jesus, I give my life into your hands. You are the King, not me. And thank you for that. Thank you, Jesus, that you love me. Thank you, Jesus, that it was your decision out of love that you came to the earth to rescue me, that you died on the cross for me, that your blood was shed for the forgiveness of my sins. Please forgive me, Lord, right here and right now. Thank you that you were buried in the grave, but that the grave can't hold you. Thank you that you rose again, that you are alive right now. And I ask, would you impart every bit of your new life into me? I'm asking, would you live in my life? Would you take over? I'm not in charge anymore. You are. I submit to you. I choose to follow you. I'm praying, Holy Spirit, fill me up. Overflow through my life. Make me into the man, the woman you have designed me to be. I'm following you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, if you prayed that prayer in a minute, just begin to thank him in your heart. Thank you, Jesus. And Lord, I pray over this family for all the steps that we need to take, for the things that we know that we know that we know. Lord, even if we've already given our lives into your hands, may we not stop. May we keep coming after you. I pray, come on, church family, just tell them about that thing that you know. Tell them right now. And Lord, would you just give us the strength? Would you help us? We're saying we're not putting up with it any longer. We're not putting it off. We're coming after you, Jesus. We want heaven to invade our lives in and through us. I pray you would answer prayer, Lord. I pray we would live differently now. And I pray that you would use us, God, as there's a world around us who still needs to know, who needs relationship with you. So give us strength this week. Give us just, Lord, take the fear away. May we take the steps. May we invite. May we do what you want us to do. God, we pray you would use us as a family. Let this city be reborn. We pray all this in the name of Jesus, and my whole family said.
Thanks for joining us today. Please know you're always welcome to worship with us on Sunday mornings. Also, if you would like to give to our ministry, you can go to our website at apeopleintheircity.com. We hope to see you soon, and God bless.